his business is a distribution of welfare benefits. He travels into town and he has said, I like the present 15-minute commute. It's far better than 1:45. And he's not really looking forward to the end of the lockdown. He gets to be gridlocked again. However, there is a downside to this lockdown. Some folk are going stir crazy, and domestic violence is said to have gone up by 1/5. I hope at least in the Brotherhood, households are brought together by the lockdown and not driven apart. I think we might well have benefited by having more time together in our homes and less looking around. Fifth point, the timing of the book could have been a whole lot worse. The weather today is great and has been ever since the book started. Can you imagine what it would have been like for the folk at Fish Lake if they had the floods and the book all at the same time? Likewise, we have technology. The virtual world has compensated at least in part for the lack of physical contact, and means that many folk can work from home, and as we are deprived of the physical VOD service, we at least have access to a virtual service. Number six, sadly, 24 health staff to date and some care home workers have died out of the 10,000 so far in this country. These staff are not ducks from the risk to save other lives. Does that remind you of someone? Seventh point. I believe this country is the only one whose leader has gone down with the book. It distressed me that Boris got the book, got it quite bad. In fact, today's paper suggests that he was actually not far off death's door. Politicians are generally detached from the public who voted for them, and are often detached from the laws that they impose on the rest of us. Yet Boris now has experienced the reality of his own, and therefore feels our pain. Does that in a way remind you of someone? Is Matthew 8, verse 17 a tiny bit relevant? Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Not, of course, as I will never compare Boris or even Tom Thompson with Jesus, but I always enjoy pictures of Jesus' work in all memorials. Right, next part of the talk. Will we be kept safe, stay alive, and not suffer too much? Sadly, there are no guarantees. There's one verse in Hebrews 11, that's the faith chapter, verse 35, where we jump from those who have prospered with their faith to those who didn't despite their faith. Then there's a quote that we know very well, ask and it should be given to you. I think that's got to be heavily qualified. Moses refused the promised land simply because he hit a rock with a stick, which I think is a big deal. And naturally, because of that, begged God for mercy. And in Deuteronomy 3, verse 26, he was, to put it bluntly, told to shut up, or told at least that God wasn't going to listen to him anymore, to stop his whinging. That's how it reads. Paul begged three times for his thorn of the flesh to be removed, in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 8. And he was told no. In both these cases, Moses and Paul, they were told that God's grace was enough for them. Even Jesus, no less, begged three times for the cup to be taken away, and it wasn't. Nevertheless, the prayer of hope with the caveat, thy will be done, is better than no prayer at all. Nevertheless, I still pray in hope, but not expectation, that my family and I, and you and Darlington, and all the brothers and sisters, are spared the worst. I am just not ready to depart this earth just yet. The book hits whom it will, and yet leaves others unscathed. It's so unpredictable. Back in my youth, my Sunday school superintendent, who was in his 30s, had a wife and 3 kids, having had hardly an illness in his life, perished with the book that was going around at that time. There are just no guarantees, even for believers. Right. Next section, preparation and results. A guiding principle of Scripture is that we should do something and let God do the rest. Not doing something is wrong. Doing everything means that you might forget to put matters into God's hands and launch yourself. A good example of that is Gideon had an army of 30,000. He was told to send all but 300 packing back home for just that reason. Doing everything without God doesn't always work. As Paul says, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Also, doing nothing doesn't work. But Paul writes in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, does anyone provide not for his own, especially for his own house, he is denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Yesterday's reading from Proverbs sums it up, verse 31 and Proverbs 21. The horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. So, we should wash our hands for 20 seconds every time, and socially distance and 6 foot 7 inches, and that is preparing the horse, and praying that God gives us safety. If that fails, that is if we do get the bug, we might then have to fall back on Romans 8:28, and we know all things work together for them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Easier said than done to think of that one. I still don't want to get the book. I don't want you to either. Cities of Refuge. I was sent a picture of an ancient lockdown, which is Noah's Ark. More of this in a minute. There was a couple of weeks ago in the Bradford Online Exhortation, Numbers 9, verse 22 was mentioned, where it says, or whether it were for 2 days, or a month, or a year, that the cloud tarried on the tabernacle, remaining thereof, the children abode in their tents, and journeyed not. When it was taken up, they journeyed. The unpredictable timescale reminds me of our lockdown. Well, we've had anything from 3 years, to 3 months to 15 months. The only evidence we have so far is the Wuhan lockdown, which lasted 76 days. I bet when the Jews were in Elim, the 12 springs of water at 70 pound tree, that's in Exodus 15, verse 27, they were happy to hang about for quite a while and not willing to shift. But at other times, they might ask of Moses, whenever are we going to get out of this dreadful dump? And Moses might reply, that Jesus once gave in Acts 1 verse 7, it is not for you to know the time nor the season which the Father has put in his own power. The wilderness was a city of refuge. The main principles of the refuge are 1. That you escape danger, 2. You stay within the refuge for an unknown time, and if you don't stay, you will die if you leave. And then at the end of that time, you are released. The refuge provisions allowed and expected you of release to go home. But here, the Jews were expected to go onwards, and most certainly not to the home they left, being Egypt. The unpredictable time of refuge is governed by the death of the high priest, which clearly looks like a reference to Jesus releasing us. It must have been tough, however, for anyone fleeing in the days of Jehoiada the priest, who lived to the rank of the age of 130 years. That's from 2 Chronicles 24, verse 15. Noah's Ark, nor a city of refuge, should not be compared to the Diamond Princess. Here, the inmates were supposed to be quarantined against the bug, but as always happens on cruise ships, one infected person infects a great many more. I understand, but I couldn't establish it completely last night with Googling it, that the number of people infected was about 400, so about 10% of the ship. Approximately half of them had no symptoms. And this was over a period of 2 weeks or more before the inmates, or prisoners, or hospitals, whatever you want to call them, were released. Care homes were a similar germ factory. Once the bug had struck, there seems to be no escape from the lockdown. I just pray that Oliver hadn't suffered like that, but I do know that bugs do strike. Strikes such places like wildfire, and what was it once when there was a dreadful thunderbolt flying around? Noah's Ark is a good example of a city of refuge. But first of all, he escapes danger from hell and man, and he escapes danger from the wrath of God with the flood. I don't think he would have known when he got out. When he did get out, I get the impression he couldn't wait. I suspect, on the other hand, that the 10 spies, in the wilderness, we just stayed put for fear. What I want to do now is just give you an illustration of what I think the timescale of Noah might have been. But cooped up in that ark with his wife, his sons and daughters in law and animals. I don't know what they had to eat and drink. All I know is that having food and raiment therewith be content. Right, Genesis 7 verse 4. God told Noah 7 days of the flood. He looks him all here, the family and animals all went in, and God shut him in. So he knew about those 7 days. Also in 7 verse 4, God told Noah that it was going to be sent swimming weather for 40 days, in other words, heavy rain. So you knew about the 7 and the 40, therefore 47 days, but did he know what was to follow? And I'm not sure he did. Did Noah think, after 47 days, when the rain stopped beating down the ark roof, that he and his animals would get free? Think again, Noah, God might say, it's a bit damp out there. Right, going on, chapter 7, verse 24, the revolt was waters prevailed for 50 days. Now, I think that's what that means, is it did go down, it stayed where it was for 50 days. So if we add that to the 47, we're now to 197. Genesis 8, verse 3, then talks about the waters falling back over 150 days because God didn't have the power. And I think that was over the first 150. So now we've got 150 plus 150 equals 300, which equals 10 months from verse 5. And the mountaintops are seen, and there's no sea that we think maybe I can get out now. Whatever it is, we've got 300 plus 47, which is 347 days. Moving on a bit further. Verse 7, another 40 days, and Noah sent out the raven, and then the dove. So we've now got to 347 plus 14 and 387 days. Moving on to verse 10, it took 7 days for Noah to send the dove again, and which came back from the holiday. 387 plus 17 plus 94. 7 more days in verse 12, this time he sent the dove out, and it doesn't come back. He's still waiting another month and 27 days, which is probably about 55 days. We know from 401 to 456 days, approximately 15 months, and Noah can disembark. And so he did. A long time. And I suspect he probably only knew for certain about 7 weeks of a period of approximately 65 weeks. And he was thinking, he might well be thinking, well, when are you ever going to let me out of this? As we might be thinking about the lockdown. On another matter, in Psalm 57 verse 1, it suggests we're taking refuge in God until the calamity of the realm of past. Does that mean that we should still trust in God when this is all over? I would suggest not, but rather we have to move forward and let the Father help us get over the things that we get through prayer. And I think this is what Noah did. And would have done before he went into the ark, he might have said, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until I drink it of you in the kingdom. And is that the positive significance of this thing to Genesis 9, verse 21? And does that give us a springboard for the breaking of bread service?
Thank you very much, Tony. Thank you very much.